you only have one place you can start, and that has to be really what you are already ranking for. Now, when you discover what you're ranking for, you might be disappointed because you say, oh, I don't want to be ranking for that. I want to be ranking for some other exciting keyword or whatever. But the point is, you're not. So you have to start from where you are.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok.
My guest today is Chris Davidson. Here's three facts that I think you should know about Chris. One, he started working in IT before IT existed. It's kind of fun saying that. How can you work in an industry that doesn't exist? Well, he's been around a long time. Two, he designed the computer network underpinning the Wimbledon tennis championship when he was 28 years old. And three, Chris is not someone to be messed with. He holds a black belt in Goju Ryu Karate. Ha-ya! Chris, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Thank you very much, George. It's a great pleasure being here. Thank you.
Great to be here. And I'll remember not to spar with you because I only made it to orange.
Yeah. Well, I was an orange belt too. I remember that. Yeah. Long time ago.
Yeah. I got tired of hurting all the time.
Yeah.
Chris, I also want to mention your latest book, Why Your Website Doesn't Work. And that's the topic of our discussion today because I'm sure a lot of business owners would like to know why their website isn't doing what they think it's supposed to. And let's just throw that question out. What's the biggest reason? What's the problem?
The biggest reason is weak target focus. That's the biggest reason. There isn't a strong focus on exactly what their intended perfect customer or client is. And that means that there then isn't enough information about any product or service they're selling. There can't be because they haven't got in mind a clear idea of who their perfect client is. Now, this is making an assumption, of course, that all the other underlying foundations are in good shape. They may be, they might not be. You know, that you can't tell from looking at a house whether the foundations are in good shape. That's why you have it surveyed before you buy it. So there is a number of steps that one could go through, a number of tiers, five, in fact. But the biggest issue is this weak target focus.
Weak target focus. And let's come back to those tiers in a moment. But first, let's have a clearer understanding of what you mean by weak target focus. People come to my website and I'm offering coaching for executive presentations. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, so there's nothing wrong with that, George. That is okay. You know, that is your intended message. No pun intended. That is your intended message, isn't it? That you offer presentation training for executive. Okay, that's clear. But I might say, well, what sort of markets, George, do most of your clients from? And you might respond by saying, oh, they're spread across all these sectors. Or you might say, well, actually, Chris, you know, 80% of my business comes from the finance sector, just for the sake of example, right? And then I might say, well, if that's the case, George, why don't you just go all out and say, I do executive presentation coaching for finance executives? Because if you then focus all of your marketing efforts on that niche, you're going to get the other 20% anyway. They're going to get caught up in the wake of the passing ship and dragged along. And you can decide whether you want to service them, how you want to service them, as and when they arrive. But the sharper you make the point, the deeper it's going to dig in. So I think that would be the point I would make to anybody out there. I would just come back to them and say, look, what is your intended message? And who is it really for? Is it really cross-sector? Or actually is 80% of your business coming from SME-sized businesses? Okay, in what sector? Well, most of it actually, thinking about it, is professional services. Okay, well then let's just do that. It's very rare that you're going to come across somebody who is genuinely so spread out that they're picking up business equally from all sectors. You know, it doesn't happen that way because, you know, people get referred to one another and what have you. And so that always there's always, if you dig into the numbers, there's always a sector in the lead somewhere. And why not just focus on that?
And so how is it best to demonstrate that focus on a website?
In the content. This is where people get, I don't think they get confused. I think they get distracted. They get distracted by very well-meaning website designers who want to demonstrate their capacity to design stuff that looks beautiful. And really, it isn't about what it looks like. You know, it comes down to writing really good, solid content. And that is very hard work. It's very, very hard work because you've got to do two things. You've got to get your intended message out there. So you've got to write your good, solid content. But also in the same breath, you have to write your good, solid content using the words that your perfect client is using when she or he is searching for you. So you've got to invest a whole load of effort and energy doing a lot of keyword research and what have you. Then you've got to double down on that and write some really good content using that material. Then you've got to get that into a website that has a clear call to action around that material. Now, that is all about user experience and to some extent user interface design, but people do get dragged into this, oh, that looks really nice. Oh, I like that particular shade. I'm not sure that this particular font, do all that later. Really, honestly, that I'm not saying it isn't important, but it can wait. It can wait. Don't waste effort and energy on that. Spend your money up front on knowing what your perfect clients are looking for. And you can only do that if you know who your perfect clients are. So there's the point. Know who they are. Know exactly what they're typing into the keyboard when they're typing it. And then respond to that with really solid content that focuses on their need.
How can we know what our perfect clients are typing into search? Because it's curious. When I get new clients or prospects, one of the questions I usually ask is, well, how did you find me? Oh, I Googled. And they can never remember what they Googled.
No, they might not be able to, but Search Console can. So Google Search Console will tell you what you're ranking for. And that is an important point, George. So thank you for bringing it up. So if one is embarking on this adventure, you know, people listening to this might say, okay, right, I believe you, George. I believe you, Chris. I'm gonna do this. Then where do I start? Well, you only have one place you can start. And that has to be really what you are already ranking for. Now, when you discover what you're ranking for, you might be disappointed because you say, oh, I don't want to be ranking for that. I want to be ranking for some other exciting keyword or whatever. But the point is, you're not. So you have to start from where you are. And Google Search Console will tell you what you are ranking for. So that's the place to start. Dig into Google Search Console, that will tell you what you're ranking for. And while we're here, by the way, just a note in the technical margin for your listeners to speak to their tech teams, Google Analytics, this year, Google Analytics is implementing GA4, Google Analytics 4. Now, you can implement Google Analytics 4 already. And you ought to do that because in July of this year, Google will stop processing data from earlier versions of Google. So if you have an earlier Google tag on your website, it will stop working in July this year. So implement GA4. Just do some Googling. How do I implement GA4? There's lots of information out there and lots of people that can help you. But this is not an option. This is something you are going to have to do. And the sooner you do it, the better, because you'll then be in a better position to preserve the data that you already have, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, now there's something on our to-do list right away. Yeah. Going back to the content, is it better to have questions or promises?
Great question. Answer, questions. Yes, a really great question. So you need both, of course, because you do need to be able to clearly stand for something. So you need to make the promise to the prospective client, for sure. But yes, if you want to be found by Google, then go answer the questions that your target market has. So Q&As are really, really good. So sections on websites that do FAQs, you know, frequently asked questions and the like, they're really good. And the concertina function, you know, where you click on a question and it opens up the answer, you click on another question, it opens up the answer, called a concertina. That is a really good way of A, getting a lot of content into a website for Google to read, but also it's a way for your human users to really scan through a whole load of questions and, oh yeah, that's interesting. Let's click on that one, see what the answer is. Oh, that's interesting. Let's click on that one. So they don't have to scroll through great long screeds of text. They're just going through a list of questions, that one, that one, that one. But Google, behind the scenes, can read the whole lot. So you're satisfying everybody there. You're keeping Google very happy from an SEO perspective, and you're keeping your human users happy. Yeah, that's a nice feature.
The blog content on your website, yeah. Is that significant?
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. So there's a client we have in the United Kingdom here, a lawyer, a solicitor, as we call them over here. And we do the search engine optimization for his website. And I've just produced his monthly report for him. So I have it in my mind, as it were. But I can tell you that the highest ranking page, the page that gets the most amount of traffic for his site, is a blog post. And it goes blog post, service page, blog, blog, service page. So there's a good spread between blog posts and the service pages, the product descriptions, if you like, to what he does for his clients. But blog posts are really important. So you really want to put effort into blog posts. So we're not talking about 500 words here. We're talking about, you know, 1200 words. We're talking about a lot of writing. We're talking about structuring them in such a way that you clearly use the keyword research in the blog post. We want to have an H1, a heading, a title, an H1 for that blog post should be a keyword. We then want to have all the H2s, the subtopics underneath. They should really, if we can do it, they should be keywords. And then when you're structuring a good blog post, what you would do is you'd write the blog post, then you'd collect up all the H2s in the subtitles in the blog post. Let's say there's 5 or 6 of them. You'd bring them all up to the front and you'd put a little mini table of contents into the blog post with all the H2s into the blog post there. Now, why would you do that? You would do that because it gives you some internal links. So Google gets incredibly excited because it sees a keyword, a big keyword, as an H1, a title of a page. So it whistles straight into that page to see what's going on. And then it sees a whole load of internal links from H2s, which are already significant to Google because you're using the keywords, and they're internally linking to elsewhere on the site, in fact, within the same page. So that all helps. So you need to structure blog posts well, and that's how you do it in a very quick summary.
Okay, so I'm just learned that I need to put a whole lot more thought into my blog post writing.
Writing blog posts is, you know, it is significant work. Don't dismiss it. And if you're in the services business, which you certainly are, George, as distinct from e-commerce of, you know, coffee cups and t-shirts, you know, you're in the services business, then yes, I would say that a site like yours would be one that would benefit from a lot of investment in structured blogging. And that similar structure goes through to the service pages as well. Yeah.
And you also surprised me with something else. You said 500 words, not enough. It's got to be closer to 1200.
Absolutely. Yeah, blog posts need to deliver solid content that clients are going to look at and go, oh yeah, okay, right, this is exactly what I need to know. This is really what I need to know. And you're not going to really do that in 500 words. So Google wants to see regular content. It wants to see fresh content, but it wants to see content that adds value. So you know, you see a lot of posts in social media that are kind of replaying information from elsewhere. They're not really saying anything new. And Google's going to give that a bit of a yawn, really. You know, I've seen this before. Nothing new going on here. It's getting a bit boring. So, yeah, you want to be delivering new, solid information. Case studies, for example. There you go. That's a good one. That would be a good one for you, George. For your intended message, put up some case studies. Write some case studies. It would be a way of you getting testimonials in there from your clients, and then make sure that those case studies are written so that you collect in the keywords are written into the case study. Put all that in a nicely structured way and put half a dozen case studies onto your website in a separate section called case studies. And then advertise those case studies. You could advertise those case studies through social media, through LinkedIn or wherever your target market gathers. And that would be good. That would be good.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm making a list of things to do here on my website.
It's all in the book, George. It's all in the book.
It's all in the book. Good. Okay. And there's the book I'm going to have to look for. And let's just mention that book again to people. It's Why Your Website Doesn't Work. And it's available on Amazon. It's available both in print and Kindle.
Correct.
You mentioned earlier about 5 tiers. What's that about?
So thank you for coming back to that. So yes, there are 5 tiers of work, if you like, 5 buckets of work that can be done on a website. And I put all those into these buckets. I put them into these different tiers, and I've collected that together and called that the website effectiveness framework. So in one tier is what you would call all the technical work would go into one tier, one bucket. And I just label that cogency. So, you know, is your website technically cogent? Does it hang together as a solid technical piece of work? So that's one section, one tier. Another tier might be, for example, systems engagement. So when somebody arrives at your website, George, how many ways on your website are there of you engaging with them? Can they leave their name and email address and get some kind of lead magnet going on? Maybe there's multiple lead magnets. Can they leave their phone number for a callback? Is there online chat? These are all different ways in which you are encouraging visitors to your website to interact with you. So that's systems engagement. Another way that you interact with your market, of course, is community engagement. So for example, you running this podcast is part of your community engagement, right? So those are 3 tiers, cogency, systems engagement, community engagement. And you can kind of understand that if you work hard and work diligently across all of these 3 tiers, you can understand that progress would be made. The 4th tier, which we've already talked about really, is where it gets tough. And that's where you're talking about product. That's the biggest issue there is having those sharp, neat, tight, solid, detailed product descriptions for what it is that you do, having those on the website. That's the 4th tier. And the 5th tier is reserved for people really who want to change the way a market works. You can have a perfectly successful business just running the first four tiers. But if you want to completely change the way in which a market works, in the same way that Amazon changed publishing, in the same way that Airbnb changed short-term rentals, you know, then that's what goes on in the fifth tier. That's where you're going to look very clearly and very in a very detailed way at how you're going to fundamentally cause a shift in the marketplace. Those are the five tiers.
Where do people tend to fall down the most?
The gap between the third and the fourth. There are two points, one of which is you come across websites that have technical things that need fixing. So in the first tier, in the cogency tier, but most commonly, particularly in services businesses, they can't get into what I call market alignment. They don't have all the product information, the detail required to talk at depth with enough content to satisfy their target market. They need to do more writing. That's what it comes down to. But there is a way in which you can measure where you are across all of these five tiers, because that's ideally what you would want to do, isn't it? You want to measure your way across all of these five tiers. And then if you had a numerical score for all of these five tiers, then the lowest number, you go, oh, well, that's where I start. So I've designed a tool to do that. So anybody who has the book gets access to that tool. It'll take you about 10 minutes to fill in all the questionnaires. And then it just pops out a report and gives you a numerical score across all of the tiers. And then you're away. Then you know exactly where you need to start. You know, if you've got a low cogency score, if your website, for example, is not technically all solid, there's not much point in commissioning a copywriter and spending a shed load of money on writing beautiful product copy if your website isn't technically sorted out. So you need to know where to start.
Once that's done, let's say we've got the website looking, if not tens, eights and nines.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we just sit back and wait for things to happen?
Well, Google likes to see evidence of action. It likes to know that there's somebody here who is interested in what's going on in the market, in charge, has experience, has authority, and wants to share it. So if you were able to kind of wave a magic wand and pull up an 800-page website that dominated your entire marketplace, could you then just say, sit back and say, well, that's that job done? Probably not. Because if you take your website and your target market as an example, you know as well as I do that what went on in the whole COVID pandemic. So had you been in that position, waving the magic wand just before the pandemic and said, right, okay, here's all my executive coaching for presentations and all the rest of it done, then the pandemic comes along and the whole world is taken over by Zoom, and you do nothing about that, is Google going to keep coming and visiting your website when all your other competitors are writing about, oh, this is how you run meetings through Zoom, and this is how you engage people on Zoom, and hybrid working, and all of this kind of stuff. If they're all doing that and you're not, you're going to lose out. So you do have to keep up to speed. Now, I'm going to make one kind of point there. This is on the assumption that the traffic that you want, you are gathering organically. There is, of course, another way to get the traffic, which is just to buy it. So if you're going to go out there and buy the traffic with either Google ads or Facebook ads or whatever, then if you're just buying the traffic, then you don't necessarily have to have a huge amount of content on the site because you're buying the traffic. All you need then, on the assumption that your ads are sufficiently well targeted, that you're picking up reasonably good leads, then what you need is a site that is capable of satisfying them, qualifying them, and converting them. So it doesn't need as much content as a site that is trying to do all of that organically. Yeah, that making sense?
Yeah, so I'm hearing there's options there, and I suppose one could do either or both.
Mm.
So if you've got the money to spend on advertising, then the site doesn't need to be as Google-friendly. However, if you spend the time and money making the site Google-friendly, that might be better in the long term.
It'll be better in the long term. It'll be better in the long term, yeah, for sure. And you're right to say that you could do both. And there are many examples of very competitive industries that do both, you know, financial services, law, accounting, for example. Those are, you know, professional services in general. You'll find that they do some advertising and they also invest in search engine optimization and blogs and what have you. Important point. If you are going to go spending money on advertising, then you're going to have to make that advert very, very, very precise in order to collect exactly the sort of target market you want. Having gone to the bother of creating an advert that works so tightly and so precisely, there is no point at all in dumping that highly targeted market onto your homepage, because your homepage is there to satisfy everybody within your target market. But your advert, even within your target market, is only going to look to satisfy a tiny, tiny niche of that target market. So you need to take those people to somewhere else where they are satisfied. Don't take them to the homepage. Take them to a page that is designed specifically to satisfy that advert.
Ah.
And having got them there, don't give them much of a choice. Having got them there, they either go through the process that you've defined and end up with the action that you want them to take, whether that's handing over their name and email address or actually buying something. That's kind of up to you. But don't allow them to get there and then just all of that effort to be diffused as they wander around your website. Oh, what's George doing down here? Oh, that's quite interesting. Blah, blah, blah. And then they just wander off and they disappear. And you've spent goodness knows how many dollars getting them there, and you just allow them to wander around the house and walk out through the back door. Well, that's no good.
Mm. So if you're paying to get people there, take them to a page or on the site that's talking exactly the same thing that attracted them in the ad.
Absolutely. Ideally, take them into a funnel that takes them through a process that they either have to follow or they leave. You know, they come into this funnel and they either do what you want them to do or they leave.
Chris, how does the latest AI play into all this? The artificial intelligence?
Yeah, it's a great question. And the answer is that it helps. It helps with the copywriting and it helps with the research. It just helps people who are skilled already do better jobs quicker. But it's not a replacement for skill. AI is not going to dream up just headlines that people look at and go, boom, that grabs people, you know? It'll help you write the copy under the headline. It'll help you research the stats to underpin everything. Sure, it'll definitely do that. But coming up with the initial headline, that's going to be down to really good copywriters. And when you come to look at image and AI, the same applies, really. So people who do the image design, yeah, they're going to use AI to create incredible images and all the rest of it. But they're going to have some innate skill as a graphic designer to be able to use those tools. It's a little bit like if we roll back lots and many years, you know, before we had all the electric power tools that exist in everybody's garage, you know, and we were just down there using hand tools and all these electric power tools came along bit by bit by bit. And do they help you create a better job? Yes, they do. But they're not going to help an unskilled person create a better job. You know, they will help a skilled person produce a better job quicker, but you still need the skill.
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
So they're tools. They're not going to replace anybody. Yeah.
Okay, a good analogy. Chris, for people who want to find out more about you and what you do, they can find you at your website, which is in the description below. And that website is chrisdavidson.co.uk. That's correct. Chris Davidson, and you can find the link below in the description. And the book is Why Your Website Doesn't Work.
That's the one.
And you can find that link below as well. Chris, as we prepare to wrap up, if you were talking to a business owner who's maybe not even frustrated because they just don't understand their website, if you could give them one, two, or three pieces of advice of where they should start, and maybe it's something you've said already.
Yeah. So the first thing they should do is that they should run the website effectiveness assessment on their website. It's the very first thing they should do. And they can find a link for that on my website. That's completely free. You know, there's no sales involved in that, whatever. People can just go to the website. They can type in their domain and they run the website effectiveness assessment. That gives them their percentage score across all five tiers. And that tells them really where they should start looking. That's the first point. Second point they should do is, I would say, is go audit the content of your website. And the third point would be go and understand what it is that you're ranking for already. Now, you might not like it, but whether you like it or not is not the point. You can't start doing anything about it unless you know what it is. So go and find your starting position. Mm. Those are your three points.
Valuable tips, which I'm going to do myself, Chris. Thank you. My guest today is Chris Davidson, reminding you to have a sharp, sharp focus to go deeper.
If you like what you heard, tell your friends and post your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, because that helps more listeners find us. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.